Time for the Friday newscap and some voices from the news this week.
There's still a lot of things out there, folks. This is far from over. We're preparing about what to do next. Are we going to go to the Supreme Court of the United States? Maybe.
I just don't think it's ever appropriate for the state party chair to attack the governor or any other elected official. You know, especially Governor Ducey, he's got a great conservative record, elected twice, and strongly supported here in the state of Arizona.
I'm sure a lot of small businesses would not survive. A lot of individuals would be laid off. It would be a mess. And I really don't think you need to go back to the March playbook. I just don't think that really makes a lot of sense.
The question really should be, can the Arizona economy survive? And also, will there be a negative impact if we close? And the answer is yes on both. Yes, it could be hard on some businesses, but no, it's not going to derail the state's economy anywhere near a recession.
Yeah, with us to talk about ballot lawsuits, the battle among some Republican officials in Arizona, and more, are Stan Barnes of Copper State Consulting. Stan, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you, Steve. Good to be here.
I understand you look good this morning, too, which is not a surprise.
Thank you. I'm glad your listeners are now aware of that.
And Chad Campbell of Strategies 360. Chad always looks good as well. Chad, good morning.
How you doing? Good to have you. Good to hear from you guys.
Stan, let's start off with our favorite sort of political kind of discussion. So, Kelly Ward, Andy Biggs, not happy with Doug Ducey, and they're making it very public, and vice versa. Things like this happen, but this seems pretty dramatic considering what we've seen with the ballot counting lawsuits and COVID relief and whatnot. Is this a bigger deal than this usual sort of infighting is?
Yes. In the short word, it is a bigger deal. There is normally an infighting, and there's normally a tension between kind of the true believer class or wing of the Republican Party and the money, Chamber of Commerce, country club wing of the party. But this is on a higher level, just like everything else in 2020. It's on a higher level, and I regret it. It's really too bad. I wish Kelly Ward wasn't doing this. I wish Andy wasn't doing some of these things, Congressman Biggs. But it's just the nature of where we are in our politics. I do think, Steve, it's a fever that's going to break. But in the meantime, it's wobbled a lot of confidence and thought among Republicans who care about the party, care about the direction, and the like. So, yeah, it's not normal, and it's worthy of being talked about.
Stan, one quick follow-up on that. So people who follow politics in Arizona, not surprised by Kelly Ward at all. And even though Andy Biggs is considered to be quite conservative, the fact that he's a congressman now, even some of the things that he got into on social media with Governor Ducey's chief of staff related to whether there might be forced COVID vaccinations, it just seemed a little bit beyond the pale for a congressman.
Yeah, I'm not passing judgment on Andy's beliefs. And it's worth saying that Andy believes what he's doing. And it's also worth saying there is a constituency, a large constituency, that also believes. In fact, you might add the President of the United States, other congressmen. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that Andy's speaking for, and Kelly Ward. But that doesn't mean they should say it in the manner of which they're saying it. And I would rather these fights be among adults and private, the way self-governance always is, even the way Chad's Democratic Party is. They have the same problem. They're just controlling it better at the moment.
So, Chad, is the issue just that Republicans have better access to social media? Is that what's going on? Because clearly, there are disagreements within the Democratic Party as well. But there may be, I think Stan might be right here, that the Democrats are maybe doing a better job of keeping it out of the public view.
Yeah, I without a doubt. But our disagreements within the Democratic Party really range on policy and are based on facts, which is something we're not seeing from Kelly Ward or Congressman Biggs. And you know, when we talk about these fights between those individuals and certain legislators and the governor, as a Democrat, it's kind of grab some popcorn, sit back and watch it all. But as an Arizonan, as an American, it's really disturbing to watch this, because putting aside the arguments, what they're actually continuing to perpetuate is a conspiracy theory that is completely false and is undermining the foundations of our democracy, especially Kelly Ward and certain legislators down at the Capitol. And that needs to stop. I mean, what we're seeing is a wholesale attack on the integrity of our country and the election system, which is the foundation for our country. And we're seeing veiled threats of violence from certain legislators aimed at the governor and other individuals. And the Republican Party itself asked its party members if they would be willing to die for President Trump. This is insanity on a level that I've never seen before. And at some point, I mean, going back to the comment from Stan about being adults, at some point, we've got to figure this out, all of us, as a state, as a country, and start getting back to having fights about policy and fights about facts, and not this crazy QAnon conspiracy theory world that some people, unfortunately, too many people in the Republican Party are living in now.
Stan, what gives you such confidence that the fever, as you call it, will break?
Boy, that could be the question of the day, and the one I'm not prepared for. you're not supposed to call me on my own words here, okay?
Sorry about that, Stan.
Yeah, this will make you who you are, I guess. I think the fear will be because I think this is mostly about personality and style, and it's to Chad's point, and I find gratitude in this. Republicans are not fighting about the direction of the party and which dynamic policy agenda we're going to follow, like my Democratic friends are. They're fighting over, you know, the residual of Trump and all that means, good and bad. And so that personality related non-policy thing, I think, is a large part of it. I mean, for instance, just imagine for a moment Doug Ducey threw in with Kelly Ward. And had the same attitude. If he did, there wouldn't be a fight. They would just be all singing in the same music. But Governor Ducey has a different style and leadership approach on this election and how to manage it politically. And that's where the fight comes. That will pass. This election will pass, and then we'll move on. I hear Chad already reminding everybody Trump's not going away. And so this is going to be an issue for a moment, but I think this fever pitch is going to break.
So, Chad, when it comes down to lawmakers, as you mentioned, the state lawmakers and dealing with the governor, we have no idea what the legislative session is going to look like again because of COVID. What sort of effect could that have on getting anything done at the state legislature? Because the governor has been very hesitant to really openly work with Democrats on too many things. Is he going to have to if there are enough conservative Republicans who say, we don't want to work with you now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see the attitude from certain legislators down there. I can name a few. I think Kelly Townsend and Mark Fincham come to mind, among many others. I don't see them changing their attitude towards Governor Ducey. I don't see them changing their attitude around this particular issue. I'm not as confident as Stan that this fever is going to break anytime soon, unfortunately. And so if there isn't some type of coalition that develops between the Democrats and the reality-based Republicans, as I'm calling them right now, I don't know how anything gets done. I really don't. This is going to be unlike any session I think we've ever seen. When you layer on the COVID situation, you layer on redistricting, and then you layer on this kind of civil war between almost half of the Republican caucus and the governor and other Republicans. This will be an interesting session, to say the least. I don't know how anything gets done, though, if there isn't some type of working coalition between the Democrats and some members of the Republican Party. And I think the governor will have to work with Democrats if he really does want to get some things done.
Stan, I did want to ask you to follow up on that, but because it's public radio, I feel the need to ask something more philosophical than that, and much larger, that is sort of that I can navel gaze a bit. Considering there are always, as we talk about, there are always disagreements in a party, Republican, Democratic, whatever it may be. But how much of this, what we're seeing now, is the influence of President Trump, but also how much of it is the fact that really people have been freaking out for the last 9 months? I mean, some people have tried to go in stride. Other people have been in their houses for 9 months. How much of it is that there's so much uncertainty in the world that people start acting a little weird?
I think you could say most of it, especially if you loop in Trump himself. And if I can't imagine having this problem if it weren't for the year 2020 and Donald Trump, the personality, for all his good, for all his bad. It's those two 1-2 punches together hitting the electorate and the leadership, and the passions have been up, tensions have been high. that everything's been different, and now it's somehow acceptable to use social media to say things that formerly would get you relegated to the, you know, some rural part of Arizona where no one wants to listen to you and you can be isolated. It's a staggering thing, but I think you're really touching an important point that it is this thing about this unorthodox presidency and this exceptional COVID politics wrapped right on top of it that is just fueling this emotion.
Stan, Chad talked about Governor Ducey having to work with Democrats. I'm wondering about what the Republican caucus is going to look like at the Capitol when you have not necessarily members of that caucus, but people who are maybe tacitly endorsing, for example, the Speaker of the House having his address and cell phone number posted publicly. Like, is there a danger of within the caucus itself, the GOP caucus at the Capitol, there are going to be disagreements that are going to be hard or impossible to overcome?
Yes, this is Mark. This is where the tangible fruit, the poisonous fruit of this situation is or will play out, is that self-governance demands on a certain personal communication and cooperation and trust. As Chad knows from being down there, you just can't do anything unless you could at least symbolically shake hands with someone else on that floor and vote together or agree together. And you can't even do that if you're not talking to one another and all you want to do is flip the other guy off when you're walking past in the hallway. And regrettably, the fracture within the Republican caucus, and there's only 31 out of 60, is so bad that there's wild speculation all over this town about how they're going to govern themselves. And it's led to some of the first discussion ever, and Chad alluded to it, of a functioning coalition, because the distance between the governor and some members of the House particularly is so great. And the infighting within the Republican caucus in the House is so great that you might just get a few members fold their arms and say, I'm not participating in normal caucus politics. And that's going to be a blessing and a curse for our Democratic friends, who will then have to decide who they are and whether or not they hold together and what they stand for. And will they compromise toward the Republican middle to make things happen? It's going to be fun to watch as an amateur political scientist around here.
Not so amateur.
Well,
at this
point. both Chad and Stan, I think, are going to have some popcorn coming up. But Chad, I want to ask you about that, because is there a danger of as both you and Stan have referenced, if Democrats might be looking to work with the governor and vice versa, if Democrats work with the governor, work with Republican counterparts, could that cause a backlash for them? Could that cause problems within the Democratic caucus or with the Democratic base?
Yes and no. I mean, it could if they don't get some of their agenda accomplished. You have to get your agenda or parts of your agenda accomplished if you're going to compromise with the other side. That's, you know, true for both parties. You need to get something. So the Democrats, if they want to work with the governor, if they want to work with some of the Republicans down there, they have to make sure they have their priorities lined up. They have to discuss it as a caucus. That to have those priorities really strategically mapped out in terms of how they want to achieve them and what that means. And they need to stay together, to Stan's point, stay together and make sure that they get those priorities and then give the governor and the Republicans some of the things they want. And, you know, that's how governing works. That's how governing worked in this country for a long, long time, until the past 10 to 20 years when the parties just kind of went their separate ways. But it can be done. I mean, we did it when I was down there. I worked with Governor Brewer on the Medicaid expansion. And we as a caucus, we actually held out for a lot of things we wanted. I think a lot of people don't realize that year what we got out of that. We wanted to pass Medicaid. We were on board from day one, but Governor Brewer needed our votes. And I wasn't going to give her our votes if we didn't get some things we wanted. And if you look at that budget that year and look at some of the bills that passed and some of the bills that didn't pass that year, they were directly related to our agenda as a Democratic caucus. And so we held together and got those things into certain parts of the budget and other pieces of legislation. And Governor Brewer got Medicaid expansion. So it was a win for the state. So I think that's the model you have to take if you're going to work with the other side, and especially if you're in the minority party. So really, at the end of the day, the Democrats just have to have a very clear agenda of what they want to achieve. and be realistic about it, obviously, and present that agenda to the governor and the Republicans are going to work with, and really hold the line and not back down if they don't get parts of that agenda passed.
All right. That is Chad Campbell of Strategies 360. Also with us is Stan Barnes of Copper State Consulting. With Mark Brody in Phoenix, I'm Steve Goldstein in the midst of the Friday Newscap, which continues after this. It's the Friday Newscap here on KJZZ 91.5 with Mark Brody in Phoenix. I'm Steve Goldstein. Our guests this morning, Stan Barnes of Copper State Consulting and Chad Campbell of Strategies 360. So, Stan, COVID cases are spiking in Arizona, as they are all across the country. And Governor Ducey is being criticized for not implementing a statewide mask mandate, not showing more leadership specifically, perhaps not even going back to what he did in the spring. How much of that criticism is valid, considering he's getting it from the right and the left?
Yeah. Well, I under the theory of if you're hitting it from both sides, you must be doing something right. Everything's valid in 2020, and that's part of our problem that we're dealing with, is that there's a certain self-righteous indignation by everybody in the game. Maybe it's the logical expansion of this new politic we're in, where social media and isolation and silos and newscasts, et cetera, makes everybody pound their chest and penalizes everyone for trying to do something with the other guy to cooperate in some sort of governance. And so Doug Ducey is probably the loneliest guy in all of Arizona, because everywhere he goes, you know, people think he didn't shut it down, or he shut it down too much, and now the election, and then Donald Trump snap kicks him in the knees, and it's like, oh my God, the poor guy is just taking it from all angles, and it's either going to be a great scar that he can brag about someday, or it's going to be something that he has to explain in a future election that is going to take some time.
So, Chad, is there a situation where even if the governor tried to implement something that, let's say, didn't even have much of an impact, is perception important that he has to come across as a stronger leader, at least however we define that?
I mean, perception is always reality in politics. That's just the nature of the beast. And I do think there are certain things that Governor Ducey could be doing. I think a statewide mask mandate would be a very logical step. I will say, I'll preface all of this though by saying, first and foremost, this entire problem has really been exacerbated because of the failure by Donald Trump, period. And I feel sorry for every governor in the country, because Donald Trump has failed the American people on this issue from day one, as he has on most every issue he's touched. And so I feel sorry for every governor, regardless of party. I really do. Donald Trump has failed this country. So that being said, I think statewide mask mandate would be the next logical step. I think there could be some more restrictions in place around dining and other, group activities. But I don't know how much further the governor can go at this point right now. I don't see a shutdown in the near future. And if you were to pursue that, I think that the governor would have to try to work with the legislature in some way, shape, or form to come up with some type of economic relief for the businesses that will be impacted by this. And as we just discussed a couple minutes ago, that would be very hard to do for the governor right now. And I also think that Congress is completely failing the American people by not passing another stimulus package. And so it's hard to do that extreme step of shutting things down right now, especially in this time of the year, without knowing you can get some type of economic relief for these small businesses and these employees that will be impacted by this. So that's a very tough situation. But I do think the governor could do a mask mandate, do some other things around restrictions around group activities, dining, and that hasn't happened. So I think that would be the next step, and I hope that does happen soon.
Stan, is there a point at which we just sort of have to look in the mirror? And, you know, as the governor points out, a lot of Arizonans live in cities or counties where there is a mask mandate. And yet when you walk around, you see a lot of people not with masks. Or if you drive around, you see a lot of people doing things that maybe they shouldn't be doing. So at a certain point, is there a point at which maybe government and political leaders just can't do that much anymore, and we just sort of have to be better?
I love that point. And I think that is so salient. I've just never seen an issue. And all my 32 years of being involved in Arizona politics just cut like a rusty hatchet across the body of the electorate. It's amazing how this separates people. And it's got to be one of the worst times ever to be a governor, because there's just no unanimity. There's no functioning majority among the people of Arizona. Look how close the election was. And we're very divided. And I, you know, while I have the microphone, the mask mandate, the whole statewide mask mandate that the governor is not doing is so much, we can all see it's so political and so less actual. And that's the point the governor's making. He's the left is browbeating him about, you got to do this. And it's not even about the science. It's about bending a Republican governor to that particular viewpoint, especially when most of the state is already under it. And to your point, Mark, people are people and they have their own agenda and own belief. And we're not going to enforce a mask mandate at the point of a gun. So it's just government has a limitation, and the politics of COVID is the damn weirdest thing I've ever seen.
So, Chad, let's move on to. Did you want to respond to that?
Well, I would just say, I would say this. You know, you do lead by example, though. I mean, this is my comment back to Donald Trump. Donald Trump has never led on this issue, and he set the tone for the Republican Party around this issue from day one. And we've seen that now for the past 9 months in this country as our country has spiraled. And so I agree with Stan on the fact that you can't enforce this at gunpoint. You can't do that. I understand that completely. But you do lead by example. And I do think that by setting the tone, by saying, hey, we're going to require a mask at the state level, you show the importance of that. And I think that's just, it's leadership by example. And that's where I think that we're failing in this state. So I do think that's the next logical step. Even though you can't enforce it at gunpoint, I agree with Stan. It sets the tone, and it sets the seriousness of the issue, and it shows the people that this is an issue we have to take head on, and we can't just ignore this. This isn't fake. It's a real problem. Let's all work on this together and be in this together.
All right, Chad, let's move on to another fairly significant issue from this week. Courtrooms across Phoenix were full, to some extent, of election-related lawsuits. Many of those lawsuits did not last that long. They did not go the way that the president's legal team or supporters were hoping they went. Is it safe to say now that the presidential election in Arizona is over? Like, can we say that yet?
Yeah, I think in Arizona it's over. I mean, it should be over everywhere. Unfortunately, again, we have a group of conspiracy theorists that have infiltrated the Republican Party en masse at this point. So we're still having this long, drawn-out fight. But it's over in Arizona. There was never any validity to any type of election fraud claims here in Arizona. You know, Attorney General Brnovich came out very early on and said that. Secretary of State Hobbs did a great job in all the county recorders of managing this election. Being transparent, being accountable, showing how the process worked. Our election went off without a hitch here in Arizona for the most part. It was one of the best run elections I think I've seen actually in my lifetime, especially given all of the COVID, external factors we're dealing with. So it's over. Joe Biden won. Mark Kelly won. And many Republicans won here in Maricopa County and statewide. Or at the legislative level. So it's funny when I see Kelly Ward and all these other really just conspiracy fringed kind of extremists talking about there was election fraud when the Republicans actually had a very good election day if you look at the state results and some local results. So if they're claiming fraud at the presidential level, then I guess we'd have to invalidate all of the legislative results and all of the county results as well. The whole thing is crazy. It would be a very funny satirical episode of The Simpsons if it wasn't a real life incident going on, unfortunately.
Stan, do you agree with Chad? Is the presidential election over here?
Yes, I agree. In Arizona, it's over. As Chad makes the point, we've got this Texas versus other states that evidently is going to be in the Supreme Court. And from my, you know, outside the game viewpoint, that seems to be the only real play for those people who believe that somehow the Dominion system was manipulated via software to shave off votes. I keep coming back to this issue, Mark, that whether or not you think that's crazy or not, we have to acknowledge that a great deal of elected leadership of the country and the constituency do believe it, whether they're crazy or not. And that is the problem, because it's all going to fester into 2022 if we don't like put it down somehow.
Yeah, but Stan, can I jump in for a sec?
Sure.
I think maybe, because I mean, you're someone who knows the electorate very well, maybe the electorate feels this, but there's a feeling among a lot of folks that it's hard not to be cynical when Mark Brnovich, who goes on Fox and says that there was no election fraud, and then may jump on this Texas suit. Or we hear certain Marco Rubio, who obviously is not from Arizona, but saying certain things when he was sort of seen as a moderate Republican before. How much of it, when it comes to the elected officials, is it about currying favor with Trump voters? And that's hard to see that as sincere.
No, you're, again, right on point, but that's a very sophisticated view. And I don't think the average guy is getting that. But your listeners know, because they too are sophisticated people, that the first rule of politics as an elected official is self-preservation. And Marco Rubio and some of these other guys doing what they're doing, Brnovich even, yin and yang, hot and cold, are trying to play to different audiences at different times in order to let this thing not hurt them politically, because they have other ambitions.
Guys, just about a minute left. Chad, let me just ask you sort of a quick wrap-up question. How much does this affect elections in Arizona in 2022 in terms of what sort of candidates we see for an office like governor?
I think there's candidates lining up for that already. I don't think it's going to impact that much in terms of who actually will be the front runners on either side of the aisle. But it will go to the electorate, though, to Stan's point. This is all going to trickle down. We're going to have to continue to deal with this, and that's unfortunate. And at some point, we need elected leaders to step up to the plate and start talking about facts and start talking about reality again and not placating a certain base or a certain fringe group of people.
Stan, finally, does that affect who we see as the finalists, let's say, for governor on both sides of the aisle in 2022?
Yeah, it does. This phenomenon is going to be with us through another cycle. And I'm just hoping it doesn't get out of hand, but it will affect, yes.
Stan Barnes, Copper State Consulting, Chad Campbell of Strategies 360. Guys, thanks as always. Take care. Merry Christmas and all that.
Yeah, appreciate
you. Too.